Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Flanagan's Figure Federation. Of course, I'm your Commissioner Flanagan, and welcome to today's episode. Guys, I'm really excited to get this podcast started. This is going to be a whole new podcast, an offshoot of some other podcast projects that I work on. And if you can't tell by the name and where it's being shared, this podcast is for wrestling fans by a wrestling fanatic, and it's going to be covering, you know, things that are related to both pro wrestling and wrestling figure collection, both past, present, and eventually future. So today's episode, I wanted to kind of just introduce myself, tell my story, give you an idea of what you can expect here on the podcast going forward, and also hopefully get you excited about some things that I plan to try to move forward with and bring to you here on the podcast. So we will dive right into it. Before I kind of get into my story, the idea with this podcast, I think as of right now, I'm going to keep it as a once a month show. As things progress and I can move forward, we might go to, you know, doing it twice a month, so every other week. And then if content continues to flow and I can get people on here and keep the podcast interesting and exciting, then we might even go all the way up to weekly. I really want to try to bring on people that have to do with figures and the wrestling world in general. So obviously, if I can ever secure a good interview with someone like a professional wrestler, then that would definitely be something I'd be interested in doing. But one of my dream guests would be to get Jeremy, the designer of the AEW action figures, on. I don't know how achievable that is, but I do know that the guy seems very relatable, very down to earth, does a lot of exciting things if you follow him on Instagram and Twitter, where he literally tells fans to pick a collection on eBay, and he picks a random fan and buys a collection up to $100, no strings attached, and just ships it to them. I think he just did something recently where he actually pre-ordered a gaming system for a fan because they announced that the new PS5 and the new Xbox are going to be coming out. So he just seems like a really awesome, down-to-earth guy. And maybe with COVID slowing down the world, maybe that can be an opportunity to get some of these interviews with these guys and gals that would normally be unobtainable, because maybe now life has slowed down a little bit for some people. People aren't working as much and doing as much, and we're just going to do whatever we can to make a bad situation into a good one, because that's the motivation here. I want you guys to listen to this podcast and to be very excited. So do look forward to guests in some capacity, whether it's independent wrestlers, bigger name wrestlers, toy designers, local toy shop owners, all sorts of awesome people. I'm going to try to shine a light, and I hope you guys get excited. If at ever possible, we will provide links and contact resources if you like anything you hear, so you can purchase directly from these people and support them. So that's the idea, that's the motivation, and we're going to keep on moving forward. So my name is Michael, and I do want to thank you guys for listening. And my story with wrestling is pretty interesting. So, well, I don't know how interesting it is. It's probably pretty typical, if we're being honest. I got into pro wrestling a little bit later than I think some people. A lot of people got into it really, really young. I did get into it young, but I was about 13 or 14 when I first started watching, and then shortly after that, I started collecting. So I had this best friend, Chris. We're still friends today, and he was my neighbor. And we would hang out all the time and play video games, and we were like brothers, always around each other, inseparable, did everything. So one day, we're gaming, we're playing Super Nintendo, and we're having a great time. And Chris tells me that he needs to leave because he has to go home and watch pro wrestling. For the life of me, I could not understand what exactly he saw in pro wrestling. I thought it was silly and it was fake, and I was just one of those typical naysayers. And I told Chris, I was like, no, man, you can't go. You got to stay here and you got to play video games with me, man. So he eventually leaves anyways, and I decide, you know, I'm going to check out pro wrestling then. Let me check it out. If he's leaving and it's not, video games aren't good enough. So I check it out, instantly I'm hooked. Something was happening with the Big Show and I think some steel stairs, and I was just hooked. I was like, man, this is actually really cool, because I just fell in love with a real life, like, action hero, superhero. They could just do things. Like a choke slam? What the heck is that? Like, you never see that. You're not going to see that in like a real fight or a scenario. And so it just seems so out of this world and so extraordinary. And then as I got older and I really started to understand what pro wrestling was and how it operated and how it was kind of choreographed and how they delivered the move safely and made it sound and look so real, I just became even more invigorated and more interested. And as I had entered adulthood, I actually found a local pro wrestling school slash organization here in Sacramento where I live. And I started messing around with those guys and taking bumps and went through only about 2 months of training and then was like, wow, I'm not tough. I can't do this. And I probably could have continued just so I can build up my own ego and not sound like a quitter. I left mostly because A, I couldn't afford to continue going through the wrestling school because it was expensive. But mostly I left because I just am not that athletic. If we're being honest, it wasn't that it was too tough. It was definitely tough, and my back would be sore for up to a week after taking bumps and whatnot. But I was never going to be a guy who could jump off the top rope or do a springboard or really do anything. And I was just like, I'm taking a spot possibly from somebody who is got the passion, got the drive. And I was a fan and I wanted to be engaged. And those guys were cool. Even after I left, they allowed me to still be a part of their crew. We all became friends. I ended up actually opening a music venue for a few years with one of the dudes. So very exciting. We went to wrestling shows together. Occasionally I would take like a very minor bump as like more or less an extra, like if a security needed to come and break up a fight between two wrestlers and a security guard needed to get hit or something, I would do those things. So that was awesome. As a fan, I loved getting involved and doing things like that. So that was kind of my foray into pro wrestling, and landed me to where I am today as a fan. Still watch WWE. I wish I could say religiously. It's pretty cheesy and cornball at times. This whole retribution stuff is honestly garbage. To take a guy like Dijakovic and just a girl like Mia Yim and turn them into this sort of hogwash is silly. But I try to continue watching and at least pay attention and watch the pay-per-views. The pay-per-views are always pretty good. But I'm really into AEW. I'm not one of those guys who's AEW or bust. AEW does a bunch of cornball shit too that I think fans aren't willing to, you know, we want AEW to be so good. But like, honestly, I'll watch it and the referee will be counting 1-2 and then there will be a kick out and he'll throw the 2 signal up to absolutely nobody when he's supposed to be referencing the timekeeper. They'll tag all the time without holding the tag ropes. Every single match has a suicide dive. They use the cutter like it's the only move at their disposal. And I'm not shitting on AEW. I'm a big fan. Where I may miss Raw and SmackDown every week, sometimes for no good reason, I will never miss an episode of AEW. I don't mind throwing $50 down for their pay-per-views 4 times a year. So I am a big fan. There's a lot of stuff, but I just try not to be one of those nonsense fans. I don't think that it's one federation versus the other. I think there's pros and cons to all of them. So I'll always watch. It doesn't matter how bad WWE gets, I will continue to watch. And it doesn't matter how good. Nothing will ever change in that sense. I will always be a fan and I will always be excited. And I want more wrestling fans to remind themselves, you're not a wrestling fan so you can go on Facebook and give your hot take and predict the finisher. Hey, listen, armchair GM, we all know what's going to happen. Anybody who's been watching wrestling for more than a few years knows where these stories are going. It is predictable at times, but that to me is what makes the shock value moments so much extra and so much great, and it gets that pop out of you. And I'm looking forward to live shows coming back and being able to go once they start touring and once that time comes. But yeah, so now you have a little bit of who I am and as a fan, and you understand what I'm interested in. So my first figure that I ever got was in a mall with my father in downtown Sacramento and my younger brother, and there was a KB Toys. And I always preferred KB Toys to Toys R Us. Toys R Us was cool, but KB's just seemed more intimate. And for me, where I grew up, there was one Toys R Us, but there were a few KBs. And so KBs just seemed more accessible. And that was always my dream job, was to work for them. Never had the opportunity. When I turned 18, I almost got hired on with one, but that was right after, right before they eventually went bankrupt and closed all their shops. Did work for Toys R Us for a while. It wasn't really a pleasant experience, unfortunately, but I do miss them. I miss having true toy stores. As an adult with a credit card, it's very nice to be able to just go online and order a figure and know that that figure's coming to you and there's no mystery and it's all set. But I do miss that figure hunt, you know, going out in the wild. You know, we still got Walmart, we got Target. If you're lucky enough to live in an area where there is like a really cool toy store, like we've got one called Toy Vomit, that's really awesome. And so there are still some really great independently owned shops that have wrestling action figures, but they're few and far between and you can't always drive to them. I mean, there's some great ones in the Northeast. There's an awesome one in Kentucky. And I hope to get those owners on at some point to hype up their shops. But if you're like me and you're a West Coast kid, your options are a bit more limiting. There's a few hole in the wall spots that'll have some gems here and there. But that just those days of a true toy store are gone. And I really miss that. And it bums me out. And sometimes I wonder how kids today get toys. But toys are just different. You still have Walmart and Target that'll give you your main things like a bicycle and a skateboard. But now with everything being electronic, you just don't need it because you can order your kid a tablet and that's a tablet is a toy now. And it's just, I don't know, it's weird, but I don't want to make myself sound like a boomer. So the first toy that I got was at that KB Toys, walked in. It was the Vince McMahon in the gray suit with the white shirt, the Titantron. You would put his foot on the Tron and his No Chance would start playing and you can get the other ones. So I went home, and from that day forward, I was hooked, and I was addicted. There was only one problem. Vince McMahon needed an opponent, because back then, the chairman was not afraid to get physical. As we know, he had a run as WWF champion. Eventually, as he got older, he was even ECW champion. He got tangled up with Stone Cold Steve Austin many a time. So Vince could wrestle in my figure federation. The problem was there was no one for him to wrestle. Because I got a toy that day, and my brother got a toy, and there was not a budget available for an opponent for Vince. So I did what I could do, and I went in my toy box, and I had a roughly 6-inch plush stuffed animal of Goofy, Mickey Mouse's best friend, little Goofy dog. And that was the first match. Those two would fight. And Vince hit many a stunner on that guy. And I used to just take my fingers on my parents' carpet and run them back and forth and carve out like a little square because I didn't have a ring. And as time went on, I slowly accumulated my wrestling collection. I now literally have hundreds. I have like 3 rings. I have an elimination chamber, a SmackDown stage, a Raw stage. I've got announce desks and about 100 million steel chairs and everything else you can imagine, just like your collection, I imagine. So it did grow from there, but that's where it all started. And it's crazy to think at that point that that would become something that would consume my life. Because at this point, I'm age 34 now. I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. The collecting is not going to stop. If it ever comes to a point where it's my wife or my figures, I'm sorry, but that woman's not going to stand a very good chance because I'm never going to be one of these guys that sells off. I am fully committed to ruining a relationship in favor of those toys. I don't advise that though. Try to find a happy balance. So That was kind of my first figure and where I got started. So kind of fast forward, so you know what kind of collector I am. My most recent figures that I collected, that I've purchased, I are just some kind of random ones. So I've wanted a Mean Gene figure for a long time. I have one of those coming in the mail, along with a random Mandy Rose is going to be coming my way, and a Akam from Authors of Pain, Rezar's tag team partner. So just some random gets. I ordered the Fiend Ultimate Edition. That's coming. My AEW Authentic Scale Ring with the Kenny from AEW has arrived today, as well as my bubbly Chris Jericho with all the accessories. So I'm very excited to go home and kind of unbox that. Maybe I will do a little video and upload that as well. That should be exciting. I've got a ton of stuff on order. I ordered some basics of the Street Profits, tongue-tied there, the Street Profits, as well as Bianca Belair. I have a Liv Morgan on the way. I have a lot of stuff on the way, but with COVID and back orders, some of it's going to take a long time. I have series two of the AEW figures coming my way soon. Really excited to have like MJF and Moxley and the Lucha Bros and that whole line. There's definitely more stuff. I think I randomly just ordered some steel steps to add to one of my rings. And there's, you know, I'm sure there's some stuff. I buy stuff off of Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist when I have the time. So I definitely exhaust all the options. And I am a loose collector as well. I definitely want my figures to be quality and to look good and be in good shape. But I'm not a mint on card. I don't care about that kind of stuff. I think at some point I will try to find like a really good version of certain wrestlers that I'm like big fans of and keep those mint on card only for the expectation that I would like to eventually get them signed if I'm ever in a position where I can meet a pro wrestler that I'm a big fan of. So that's, you know, that's a bit of the idea. Those are, you know, some of the figures that I've ordered recently. And it would be disgusting to total up. I never think it's that much when I order them. I'm trying to remember who I also ordered with that Ultimate Edition Bray Wyatt or the Fiend. I ordered somebody else, and just here and there, you're like, oh, this is only $40, but I'll slowly end up spending freaking hundreds of dollars. Going on to my next kind of topic. One of these days, I'm going to do the math, count how many figures I have, and give them a loose estimation. Because for the most part, everything in my collection, depending on how old it is, at full retail price was either $7.99 all the way up to about $19.99. And then you figure along the way, I've bought some things third party that were $20 here, $40 there, stuff like that. Plus all the stages and the backstage gear and the weapons and things like that. But if I had to estimate, I used to tell myself that my collection is probably worth, not worth, not like in a retail, like a resale value. But if I was to just go back and look at how much I've spent over my entire life as a collector, it's gotta be either at or around 20 grand. Like I used to think that was crazy, but I have hundreds of figures. And even if you just did the math that each one was $8 to $10, which I know some of them were more, that alone is thousands of dollars. And then you figure these, I think the authentic scale ring alone that I just bought that comes with Kenny Omega was $100. The Jericho, it was like 30. So I mean, it's up there. It was 30 or 40. So you figure just my recent purchases alone were a couple of $100. So I try not to think about it though. Because you think to yourself, if you invested that money into a house or something, you'd have something more tangible. But it just is what it is. I'm a fan, so it's just the way I'm going to continue going. The AEW line in general, I think is going to be really exciting. That's what got me back fired up about wrestling action figures. I always bought from day one, but I would have little peaks and valleys where I wouldn't order or purchase or collect anything for a while. And then randomly I'd be at a Target and I'd be like, oh, cool, Ruby Riot. Let me get her. I don't have her. And then I'd throw it into the pile and then, wouldn't buy anything again for a while. And sometimes was too broke to buy anything, but always would just here and there would always accumulate. It never fully 100% stopped, but it always kept going. Now, the AEW line comes out and gets me all excited, just because I've been such a big fan of AEW during their first year and what they're doing now. And also, it puts me in a position where, for the first time in my life, I have the opportunity to collect them as they come out rather than going back and trying to understand why certain figures were priced a certain way and collecting and doing that, because I got the entire first series. I have all six. Well, I have five and I have Brandy on the way. And then I have all of series two ordered. Plus I have the ring, plus I have the bubbly. So with the exception of the chase figures, so as I was saying, with the exception of those chase figures, I'll have the opportunity to collect all of them. I'll have all six from series one. I'll eventually have all six from series two. And as soon as the opportunity pops to pre-order series three, I'll do that as well. As of right now, I got the Kenny in the ring. I got the bubbly Chris Jericho. So I am going to have duplicates in that sense that I'll, it's kind of funny to think that the line's only been out for about a month and a half, and I'll already have a duplicate Kenny and a duplicate Jericho. And as it goes forward, I won't be a completist in the sense that I'll need every Jericho if it has a new variation of its attire. Pretty much, I'm the kind of collector that once I have a Jericho, I don't need another Jericho. But there are situations that arise where I will collect duplicates. I have, I think, three Rey Mysterios. I have like two of the Miz. There are situations, we all know that, where sometimes I have two Shanes, for example, because the battle pack that just came out with Drew McIntyre also came with a Shane from Extreme Rules. And I was like, well, I don't have that one, so let me get that one and I'll just have a duplicate Shane. And it is what it is. I don't really do figure photography, but sometimes just for my own like head, when I'm doing my figure federation, I do want the attire changes, so I will do stuff like that. But as AEW goes forward and starts to duplicate figures, I probably won't get another one unless it's for autograph purposes. But for right now, because the line is so new, I don't see them doing an excessive amount of duplicates. So I will get as many as I can while I can. Hopefully, they will start to roll out more women in the line. I fully respect why they chose Brandy to be the first one in the line. I don't necessarily know that that would have been the first female that I would have done. And we see WWE do this as well. There will be six figures available in a case pack, and it'll be five male superstars and one female. I hope at the very minimum AEW follows suit, so I do have time as I build up my AEW roster to add in more women. Because right now we've just got Brandy. Series 2 did not come with a female superstar, and of what we've heard, I think Series 3 is supposed to have a Darby Allin and an Orange Cassidy, are some of the rumors. And I think Santana and Ortiz were rumored to be like the tag team of that release. But we'll see. We'll see. We had the Young Bucks in the first one, the Lucha Bros here in Series 2. So we'll see what happens with Series 3. But hopefully, there will be a female superstar in there. I think it would have made sense to do Dr. Britt Baker because she was the first female signed to the AEW roster. But it is what it is. As long as they continue to allow the opportunity to have female talent represented as a collector, I would like that. I think there are certain stars that I would like to see before others. And I think, yeah, Britt Baker would be somebody high on my list. Even a Penelope Ford figure would be kind of cool. It's kind of funny because I'm sort of a Penelope Ford hater. But I would like to eventually get a figure of her for my collection. So, yeah, the excitement behind the AEW line is very real, and I know it's gotten a lot of people. I am an admin or a moderator on an AEW figures group on Facebook, and it's always cool to see people in there commenting about really what got them back into it. And for a lot of guys that now have kids, it's the AEW line. So really exciting stuff. Little bit of a lighthearted thing. If you've been to a Walgreens or a Target or a Walmart and you've been figure hunting in the wild, chances are there is one figure that you've seen at every store that is drastically overpriced, or excuse me, overproduced, and that is AJ Styles. It's funny because I don't mean any disrespect. AJ Styles is an amazing wrestler and he deserves to have a figure, and I've got an AJ Styles figure that I enjoy, but there's too many variations of him. There's a bunch of basics, and then there's even a few elites that come with some good accessories, but he's really overproduced. So I've made up a drinking game that I am afraid to play because I am afraid to die. And the idea behind that is when you go figure hunting that day, you take a tally of how many AJ Styles figures you see in the wild, and then you tally it up and you go home and you have a drink for each one you saw. I think it could be dangerous because there have literally been incidents where there will be almost nothing but AJ Styles. AJ Styles, Roman Reigns, and even John Cena in the past are just some of those superstars. Because they're the face that runs the place, they're overproduced, and they know little kids, little first-timers will get those, and they'll want them, and I guess I understand it, but with the extent of peg warming that I see being done by those figures, I really don't know if they're selling well enough to justify it. I mean, you look at me, I got Vince first. It's not like any kid clamors for the chairman. I don't think at any point anyone ever said Vince McMahon's my favorite wrestler. So maybe dial it back. And if you do play that game, drink responsibly. Obviously, don't play if you're underage. And just be careful because there are an excessive amount of Chris Jericho, or excuse me, of AJ Styles. Maybe do beer shots instead of alcohol so you don't die. Just rest easy and be safe. Just a kind of a funny little bit of humor in there. So I was talking with some of my fellow wrestling fans and collectors, and I was kind of asking people, you know, what are your dream lists? What are some things that aren't currently being done in the figure universe that you would like to see? Whether it's because you want them for your fig fed, or maybe you just want to just have these for your collection. And one gent had a very interesting idea, and that was some father-son two-packs. So we've seen in the past where WWE, in particular, will do the battle packs, and it'll be two guys. I mentioned that I got the Drew McIntyre, Shane McMahon one recently. I know that on the market in a lot of stores is the Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch combo that comes with the Raw Women's Tag, or excuse me, Raw Women's Championship. And there's a lot of them. There's been some iconic ones. The DX one is doing good on ringside right now. That comes with 90s era Triple H and China. So there's, you know, some good stuff out there. But this battle pack idea, as I said, would be an iconic matchup of fathers and sons. So there's a lot of room they could do with that. Some that have been done before, and some that could be done for the first time. Mr. Perfect comes to mind because, of course, you have his son, Joe Hennig, aka Curtis Axel. But with him, to my knowledge, not being currently employed anywhere, I don't know if how much demand there would be. There would definitely always be demand for Mr. Perfect figures just because of nostalgia. But it's just a bummer that his son never really quite got the rub that he deserved because he's got the look. I mean, he's not a particularly chiseled man, but he's in good shape and he looks like a pro wrestler. He's got the background and the family heritage and whatnot. And I sometimes wonder if his father was still alive, if it would have benefited him in any way. But I don't know. He did some funny stuff with B Team and That's all he's really ever been, though. He hasn't really ever been able to get past that. They've repackaged him, and it's just not really worked out. But that could be one idea. Another one that could be interesting, but that may also... So you could do Orton. Orton and his dad could be interesting as a battle pack. There's a lot of Randy Ortons on the market, but you could always really do another one. He's just one of those guys that's always going to sell. Especially if they did like a classic Cowboy Bob, where he also came with the cast that he wore and his hat and everything. So there's definitely some ways to dress it up and make it attractive, even for fans that are younger. I think if you just explained like, hey, it's Randy Orton and that's his dad, you know, I think even a little kid that maybe doesn't understand the true history of pro wrestling yet would still be like, oh, that's cool. Just throw some accessories in. It seems like they've gotten away from accessories. Back in the day, it seemed like every single wrestler came with an accessory. And back then, they didn't go into as much detail. You just had a figure. There wasn't... Now we have basics and elites. And now the elites are kind of becoming the basics. And we have our ultimates. There's all these variations. And so they don't need to give you an accessory because you're getting great detail and articulation and they just look amazing. But I remember back in the day, wrestlers would come with a lead pipe. Triple H came with a sledgehammer. At the very least, they came with a microphone. So you were always building up your set for hardcore matches and, you know, other things. But now they don't seem to do that. Like Cody came with a sledgehammer in his AEW figure, but a lot of them are just coming with hands. Like the WWE figures and the AEW figures are both doing it. And it's whatever. I usually just kind of pick the favorite hands and put them on there and then don't ever really switch them out. If I did more figure photography, I would be very into that. But I've literally just got like a little bucket of extra hands and it's kind of weird. And I would just prefer, give me a table, give me a chair, give me a ladder, give me a microphone, just anything. You even, in the early 2000s, used to be able to buy battle packs. They were called, what are they called? No, they weren't called battle packs. But it would just be an accessories pack that came with just stuff that you could use to decorate your backstage area and your ringside area. I got a little bell for my timekeeper and the monitors from the announce desk so you could slam a wrestler's head into it and things like that. And I remember SmackDown came out with a set and it was like a slime pack or something, but thankfully it didn't actually have any slime. They just put slime on the packaging to draw a child's eye. And it came with like a janitor's play set. It was like a giant trash can, not like a trash that you can hit over the head, but just like a plastic one. It said SmackDown on the side and it had a little rolly thing like a janitor would have in a hospital. And it came with just some different accessories like that. And that was sick. Like, I don't even know where to get stuff like that now. Even online, you can go. Amazon's got some real chintzy stuff. WrestlingSuperstore.com used to make that kind of stuff, but now it's just like, it's so like low class and like lame. I don't really like it. No disrespect to them or anybody who collects from them, but their stuff is just like, if I collected like older 90s and wrestling toys, like older WCW stuff or like older Hasbro stuff, then those chairs and stuff would be to scale for that. But I've always just collected Mattel, Jack's Pacific, and now Jazzwares. You know, I've never really collected those. So those were always out of scale for my figure feds. And I was never particularly interested in them. But yeah, it would be neat if you could get more weapons and things like that. But an interesting battle pack that would be cool to see that we will probably not get to see would be some variation of Dusty, the American Dream, and one of his kids, whether it's Dustin or whether it's Cody. But with WWE, as far as I understand, owning the trademarks to Dusty's likeness and catchphrases, I know it was recently announced that his son Cody was denied a trademark for the American Dream. This is the third time he's tried to acquire it, and they keep denying him. It's kind of interesting how law supersedes family. Like, I get that Vince does have the trademark, and that makes sense, and he legally owns it. But it just seems like if somebody is your birth father and you're in the business, it seems like you should be able to figure that out. I think part of that comes down to the fact that Vince McMahon is cutthroat, and there's no opportunity to really negotiate with him because he will create a position where you can't make money just because, even if he himself does not want to make the money. So yeah, that's unfortunate to see that we probably won't be able to see any battle packs. I don't know, while Vince McMahon is alive, if we will ever see an opportunity where AEW can come into ownership of his name or his image or his likeness or anything like that. But we'll see. Never say never. I think when Vince McMahon is out of the picture, not to be dark, but maybe when he passes away or is retired. I don't think he's going to retire unless he dies. But I think when Triple H and Stephanie inevitably take over the business 100%, I think that they're going to be more willing to do deals like that. Because I think for the most part, Cody probably just wants those trademarks more or less just to have them because that's his family and that's his history, and maybe to put them on t-shirts. And I think maybe Vince and, or excuse me, Triple H and them would be willing to let him do that. And they could, maybe throw stipulations. We'll give it to you, but we don't want you to use it in an action figure, only in shirts. Or we don't want you to use them in video packages since he never was affiliated with AEW or something like that. Because I do honestly 100% think that if Dusty Rhodes was still alive today, I think that he would still be involved with NXT. I think he's a very loyal guy. And I've heard Cody say things like this, not as direct, but I've heard Cody and Dustin talk about his loyalness. And I don't know that he would leave. Even though both his children are in AEW, and even if his WWE contract expired, I would see him maybe not renewing it, so it wasn't a conflict of interest. But I don't know that we would ever see him on a AEW broadcast as a manager or giving a speech or anything. It'd be awesome, and I think as fans, we would all have loved to see that. But he just seemed like a very loyal to Vince. And I've heard plenty of disparaging things where Vince was disrespectful to him, and the polka dots and all that was supposed to bury him, and Dusty was such a good talent that he was able to get over with these really garbage with these really garbage gimmicks and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't that's just kind of my opinion on that. One of my favorite figures in my collection is not even a particularly impressive figure, but one day I was at that K Beast that I mentioned I got my very first figure at, and this was many, many years later, and I saw a Kid Kash action figure, no shirt, yellow tights, and it's just a basic. It's not a particularly rare figure or anything like that, but I myself have never seen that thing anywhere else. I've only seen it at that one toy store. I've seen it online, and I think in one of the wrestling figure groups I'm in on Facebook, I saw someone else repost it, which was sick. But I've oddly never seen that figure on a shelf or anywhere else in person. So always been kind of interesting because I never really thought of that as like a big get, but it's always kind of held a fondness because I think to myself, like, man, if I wasn't there that day and I saw that figure and grabbed it, I wouldn't have a Kid Kash in my action figure line. And I bill him as a cruiserweight in my Fig Fed. And I think he's had the Cruiserweight title a couple of times. So he's not exactly having like a super amazing, stellar career down in Flanagan's Figure Federation. But he does good. He's having some fun down there. A dream action figure. I'm going to save that. But my dream action figure is probably the same as many of you, and that would be Owen Hart. I know that there have been some Owen figures in the past, but never anything that was like of scale that you could use in a Fed. It was always like LJN style and things like that. So we'll kind of go back to that because that topic, I think everybody knows where I'm going to go with it. So pretty much the last thing I wanted to talk about before I go into that is just the Jax line versus Mattel. So Jax is when I really first started collecting. Those were the figures that I came to know and love. And I was super concerned when I heard that they weren't going to be making the figures anymore, and that Mattel was going to be taking over. Because on the one hand, I knew Mattel made Barbie dolls, so I was afraid they were going to make them kind of to that scale and that weirdness. And you know how Barbie's knees and joints don't bend. And so I was like, man, this is going to be so terrible. I thought that was going to be like the end of the line. But thankfully, as we all know, it's been many years now and they've done a good job with it. But I'll always have a fondness for Jax. So I think Mattel does a better job in terms of distribution. They're more widely available. They have better articulation. For the most part, they have pretty good head scans. I do have a really terrible Zack Ryder that looks like they used a Miz head scan on it. But for the most part, they've been pretty good to that kind of stuff. But I think I've always been fond of Jax, maybe because that's where I started, but Jax always had an attention to detail. So where the Jax figures maybe didn't have the greatest articulation, like the joint, the stomachs couldn't bend and things like that, the attire was always more authentic and more attention to detail. And I always appreciated that. But Mattel is what we have now, and it's interesting. And I will say, I don't know. If I was going to debate them versus Jazzwares, it's too early to tell. There's been some criticism from the AEW line about the skin tones not being correct. And it kind of pisses me off because I just got the first series. And I know they didn't do it on purpose. But now completists are going to have to buy the first series again eventually, because they re-released it with some of the better skin tones. And I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm just going to embrace what I have, because they're not off enough that it forces me to be uncomfortable or unhappy when I'm playing with them. But it does kind of suck for people that are completists, because now you're going to have duplicates of the exact same figure in the exact same attire, exact same accessories. And it's funny, because if WWE had done that and it was just a innocent mistake, we would hear about how it was this big scam and it was this big trick and they were trying to get over on everybody and make money. But people have this rose-colored glasses when it comes to AEW, where they don't want to admit that, yeah, AEW is great and it's awesome and it's changed the wrestling landscape and it's reinvigorated fans that maybe haven't watched for 10 to 20 years. But they still do plenty of cornball stuff. There's plenty of stuff if you flip-flop the feds. I think it'd be really funny. If you did the Retribution stuff in AEW, which is really, really bad, and not getting over on WWE TV, I think if AEW did that, people would read into it and be like, oh, yeah, they're talking about the man holding him down. They're making fun of Vince. And people would say that that was a good storyline, when in reality it's not. And then I think if you took some stuff that's really over, like Orange Cassidy, and put him on WWE, be like, oh, just a boring character like Cena, just trying to make stuff for the kids. So I get a good laugh out of that kind of stuff. We're going to wrap it up, though, talking about Mr. Owen Hart. So, and I don't know if this is because I've somewhat recently watched the episode about Owen on Dark Side of the Ring, or if this is just someone, I think it's just because that figure has been so unavailable to us in the past. We've never been able to have it, and that's been kind of interesting, and it would be great to have. But obviously, there is the legality standpoint. I think that Vince still owns the image and likeness of Owen. I know that there have been opportunities where Martha, his wife, has been able to re-release his stuff on t-shirts and things like that through her charity. But I don't know if action figures and stuff are allowed, but it would be interesting to maybe look into that, and I will look into it, and maybe we can talk about that more in detail on a future episode. But just to find out what the possibilities are, because if you look at it, so right now you've got AEW and Jazzwares is making their stuff. You've got Mattel making the stuff for WWE. And then you've got these independent toy companies. New Japan has a line out that I haven't really looked into too much. And then you have Super 7 that's making figures for Matt Cardona and Brian Myers. It really makes me wonder if Martha had any interest, because I don't know that she does. If she had any interest, though, could she go to a company like Super 7 or another independent toy maker, and could she tell them, like, hey, I want to do this? And could she, as the wife, legally get that toy made? And, if she wanted to go through the work of getting it distributed in toy stores or online, I wonder if Vince would give her any flack. I wonder if he would have a leg to stand on from a legal standpoint in that sense. It would be pretty interesting because you look at what just independent fans are able to do with customs when they make their own modified versions of figures. There's the Lucha Bros line that's coming out from Jazzwares, and then there's another line that I contemplated getting that I ultimately decided against. And they've got that variation out as well. So the opportunity is there. Like, I even wonder if she went to Jazzwares, would she be allowed to do that as long as it wasn't branded as AEW? Because I think Jazzwares would be down, and I think even if AEW wasn't a part of it, I think they would let it. Obviously, if she went to like Mattel or something, they're just so corporate, I don't think they'd be interested. And I think Vince or somebody would pitch a fit about it being a conflict of interest. But I just wonder about what the likelihood is of an independently released Owen Hart figure. I think in her interview a few months ago, last spring, on the Chris Jericho podcast, she does talk about, I think she does have the rights to use him in merchandise, but they're able to use him in like footage on the WWE Network or something like that. I forget exactly what it is. I'll have to go back and give that a re-listen. Because I want to say after that podcast aired, there was speculation about whether Owen could appear in like a video game or something like that, where maybe he appears as a legend, even though he was never directly affiliated with AEW. And I think Martha at this point is just so kind of fed up with WWE and their bullshit that she's more or less just kind of steering clear of that kind of stuff. So I don't know that she would want to ruffle that back up, because I know she has problems with even the Hart family. And she just kind of wants to steer clear of all that nonsense. But that would be really cool. Hopefully, at some point in my lifetime, they'll be able to introduce a figure like that. That might come with the changing of the guard in WWE when Triple H takes the helm. Maybe he'll be more willing to kind of bury the hatchet on that, because it was kind of before his time. He was around and he was a wrestler, of course, at that point. He was just kind of coming up, but he wasn't involved in the backstage and the politics and stuff. He wasn't even with Stephanie at that point, so who knows. But this has been an exciting hour getting to share my thoughts with you guys and giving you guys a look into my mind. Hopefully, you have a better idea of who I am as a fan and a figure collector. And hopefully, it has been interesting. We will count this as September's episode. Like I said, the plan right now is to try to do one once a month. As relationships are forged and there is more exciting opportunities to have great guests on and great topics and things, then maybe we'll go more often. But I'm gonna start plugging away on the good old internet. And trying to get in contact with some of these toy stores and some of these other great places and seeing if I can lock in an interview with somebody great from the figure universe. And we'll just leave that as a little teaser. We'll see what I can pull up for the Halloween month, see if I can get something exciting going. So send out the good energy in the cosmic airwaves and put that out into the universe that I can launch something awesome. I hope you guys enjoyed, and I hope that you will be back next month to listen again. Until next time, guys, I'm tapping out. We'll see you in October.